ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Subject: What does it mean to be a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada? This is a plan to go over a few days, this discussion. Now, many of the points I'm going to make I've made before also, but this will be in the context of this specific question: what does it mean to be a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada? Actually, follower means sincere follower. If you're not sincere, then you're not really following. So the idea is that it may be that someone is following, but they're not really sincere in what they're doing, and they may be following in externally. Or they may appear to be following, but their intention is not actually to please Srila Prabhupada. They're cheating, in other words. Now, this is a very... the very question is a very heavily loaded one. I mean, you could take it from a different perspective and just say all the nice things, but I'm not gonna say just all the nice things. It's suggesting that there are false devotees. So in this regard, I'm going to read mostly from Srila Prabhupada and some quotes from, or at least one quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. Most of these quotes from Prabhupada are actually taken from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Okay, here we go. Some different quotes from Srila Prabhupada in this regard. This is from the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 19. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness, therefore he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord, however they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. So a point here that someone may advertise themselves as a devotee by outward dress. We'll find in several of the quotes that I'm going to read that this point comes up again and again, that someone may be dressed as a devotee, they may present themselves as a devotee, but they're not actually a devotee. Srila Prabhupada writes here, a devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. So it may not be that simply to say, I am a devotee. Actually, a devotee doesn't say, I'm a devotee. How long have you been a devotee? Well, I've been a devotee for 25 years. But better to say that, well, I'm still trying to be a devotee. So here's a quote from the very important verse, which the purport to a very important verse, which I'll come back to later. The Siddhanta Balaya Chitte Nakaraha Lasheha Hoite Krishna Lage Sudhira Manosh. That one should not be lazy in the matter of understanding the philosophical conclusions. One should apply one's mind to this. In this way, one's mind becomes strongly attached to Krishna. So, from the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, imitation devotees who wish to advertise themselves as elevated Vaishnavas and who therefore imitate the previous acharyas. So imitation gives the sense of deliberately presenting yourself as something, but you're not. So they want to imitate the previous acharyas, but do not follow them in principle, are condemned in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 24, stone-hearted. That must be the Tadashmasharam. Hridayambateidam. What is it? Yambateidam yagrihamanair duttachitta uchai. I'm getting mixed up. No, I'm getting mixed up with the absolute opposite of that. Anyway, the point is that their heart is like stone. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commentated on their stone-hearted condition as follows. Bahirashru pulaka yoho satorapi yadhridhayam navikriyeta tadashmasaramiti kanishtadikarinam eva ashru pulakade matve pi ashmasarahriyata nindaisha. Those who shed tears by practice, means they make a show of crying, but whose hearts have not changed are to be known as stone-hearted devotees of the lowest grade. Their imitation crying, induced by artificial practice, is always condemned. This I saw a lot of in my years in Bangladesh, that people, a show of crying and great emotion, but their behavior didn't suggest that the tears were actually very sincere. One thing I saw, they have these professional kirtans, which is now, despite Srila Prabhupada's writing against it, has now become standard in ISKCON. Professional kirtaniyas. They'll go from place to place and do kirtans, being paid to do so. And because people like to see lots of bhakti, so they'll show lots of bhakti and jumping and dancing and embracing and crying. And then when they're finished, smoking. So we can understand that they'll get a job as a kid. They can keep their position as a professional kirtani if they put on a good show, and then get more money if they have a good show. So they're imitation devotees. They're shedding tears by practice. So continuing this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, which is actually taken from the purport of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The desired change of heart referred to above is visible in the reluctance to do anything not congenial to the devotional way. This is pratikul yasya varajanam. To create such a change of heart, conclusive discussion about Sri Krishna and his potencies is absolutely necessary. False devotees may think that simply shedding tears will lead one to the transcendental plane, even if one has not had a factual change in heart. But such a practice is useless if there is no transcendental realization. False devotees, lacking the conclusion of transcendental knowledge, think that artificially shedding tears will deliver them. So we could adjust this to the modern situation and say that, well, lacking the conclusion of transcendental knowledge, they think if they entertain others, or if they do charitable works, then this is bhakti. A different manifestation of the same disease of insincerity. Similarly, other false devotees think that studying books of the previous acharyas is unadvisable, like studying dry empiric philosophies. But Srila Jiva Goswami, following the previous acharyas, has inculcated the conclusions of the scriptures in the six theses called the Shat Shandarbhas. False devotees who have very little knowledge of such conclusions fail to achieve pure devotion for want of zeal in accepting the favorable directions for devotional service given by self-realized devotees. Such false devotees are like impersonalists who also consider devotional service no better than ordinary fruitive actions. So we can translate this into the modern scenario by those who promote ordinary fruitive actions such as feeding the poor and helping the sick to be devotional service. So, to continue, there are many karmis in the dress of devotees. It's from Srila Prabhupada's books. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees, but the Supreme Personality of... Oh, this is another from another purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. The karmis want to use the property of the Lord for their selfish sense gratification, but a devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. Therefore, a devotee is always distinct from the karmis, although the karmis may dress like devotees. So that's visible here in India, that someone may become in charge of some project, and via the medium of devotional service, they make nice arrangements for their family and all this kind of thing. So it's a very strong word. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees. So how do we apply this? So sometimes if we say things like that, we're making an offense, but then they're all devotees. Everyone who's got tilaka, but Prabhupada says right here, there are many karmis in the dress of devotees. Who are they? Are we supposed to just to ignore this? Or then we should identify who they are, because we want to associate with devotees, not with karmis in the dress of devotees. From Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote that to consider a non-devotee a devotee and false bhakti as bhakti is simply self-deception. Until one is fortunate enough to serve and respect devotees, he will continue to desire to fabricate that non-devotees are devotees. How can a crow become a peacock simply by wearing peacock feathers? Can a blue jackal become the king of the animals? The story from Hitopadesh. How long can cheating remain covered? The truth will certainly be revealed. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also instructed that to consider non-Vaishnavas as Vaishnavas constitutes a serious offense that creates bewilderment in Vaishnav society. So Srila Prabhupada has stated that there are many karmis in the dress of devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that to consider non-Vaishnavas as Vaishnavas constitutes a serious offense that creates bewilderment in Vaishnav society. So if we just say everyone's a devotee, everyone who's got tilak on is a devotee, and everyone who says I'm a member of ISKCON is a devotee, then that's not what Srila Prabhupada insinuates. And if we consider non-Vaishnavas as Vaishnavas in the idea that, well, we just want to love everyone and embrace everyone, but it's a serious offense that creates bewilderment in Vaishnav society, because Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhing Vinarai Kantaki Hare Bhakti Rupate Yaiva Kalpate. If we don't follow the Shastric directions about devotional service, then in the name of bhakti, it will simply create a disturbance. It will create, Srila Prabhupada writes here, bewilderment in Vaishnav society. We were just talking about that a little bit just now before we came down. That someone is doing things which are clearly... We're talking about here about what it means to be a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada, and people who are supposed to be his disciples are doing things which are clearly not what Srila Prabhupada wanted, and some kind of preaching which is clearly not the way that Srila Prabhupada taught us to preach. And it creates bewilderment, because if we say that this is not right, and then people will become, well, but they're devotees. It creates bewilderment. So we're seeing this now. Karmis in the dress of devotees are creating bewilderment. Here's another statement from Srila Prabhupada, which might be quite shocking. What's the reference for this? This is from a Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Charya Vaishnava Seva Nishtapayat Chekeba. Unless one serves a Vaishnava, he cannot be delivered. The spiritual master initiates the disciple to deliver him, and if the disciple executes the order of the spiritual master and does not offend other Vaishnavas, his path is clear. Consequently, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the Vaishnavas present to show mercy toward the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, who had just been initiated by the Lord. When a Vaishnava sees that another Vaishnava is a recipient of the Lord's mercy, he becomes very happy. Vaishnavas are not envious. So this will be, by talking like this, I'll be accused of being envious. But this is Shastra Vichar. Reading from Srila Prabhupada, there are many karmis in the dress of Vaishnavas. To consider a non-Vaishnava as a Vaishnava is a serious offense that creates bewilderment in Vaishnava society. But the other quotes like this, that if Vaishnavas are not envious, but is it envious to say that if Srila Prabhupada says there are many karmis in the dress of Vaishnavas, and I say there are many Vaishnavas in the dress of Vani karmis in the dress of Vaishnavas, do I become envious? If I'm envious, then Prabhupada's envious. And then why should you bother reading what he says at all? If a Vaishnava, by the mercy of the Lord, is empowered by him to distribute the Lord's holy name all over the world, other Vaishnavas become very joyful. That is, if they're truly Vaishnavas. One who is envious of the success of a Vaishnava is certainly not a Vaishnava himself, but is an ordinary mundane man. Envy and jealousy are manifested by mundane people, not by Vaishnavas. Why should a Vaishnava be envious of another Vaishnava who is successful in spreading the holy name of the Lord? An actual Vaishnava is very pleased to accept another Vaishnava who is bestowing the Lord's mercy. So people may say, well, you see, yeah. Someone is spreading the holy name. But are they spreading the Lord's mercy? Now, a mundane person in the dress of a Vaishnava should not be respected but rejected. That puts everything that here to be in focus. We should not be envious. We should be glad if someone's actually preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. But a mundane person in the dress of a Vaishnava should not be respected but rejected. This is enjoined in the Shastra, Upeksha. The word Upeksha means neglect. This word, of course, comes in the famous verse, the Ishvare Tadadhineshu Balisheshu Dvishachucha. Prema Maitri Kripa Upeksha Yakaroti Samadhyama. A Madhyamadhikari, devotee, he directs his love toward the Supreme Lord, he makes friends with devotees, he's merciful to the innocent. And he rejects the envious. So by using this word, Srila Prabhupada is indicating that those who are imitation or false devotees, they're actually envious of Krishna. It's not that they're devotees, but they're made a little mistake, but they're actually envious of Krishna and of the Vaishnavas and of the Acharyas. The word upeksha means neglect. One should neglect an envious person. A preacher's duty is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make friendships with the Vaishnavas, show mercy to the innocent, and reject or neglect those who are envious or jealous. So I was just quoting, there are many karmis in the dress of Vaishnavas. So you may say, well, that means outside ISKCON. But here Srila Prabhupada writes, there are many jealous people in the dress of Vaishnavas in this Krishna consciousness movement. And they should be completely neglected. There is no need to serve a jealous person who is in the dress of a Vaishnava. When Narottam Das Thakur says, Charya Vaishnava Seva Anishtapayat Chekeba, he is indicating an actual Vaishnava, not an envious or jealous person in the dress of a Vaishnava. So who does that refer to? Well, some people would say it refers to me. But let's see, Siddhanta, but let's go through all this and see. Narad Bhakti Sutra, Sutra 23. Narad Bhakti Sutras, number 23. Displays of devotion without knowledge of God's greatness are no better than the affairs of illicit lovers. It's like illicit sex. So just to be a great devotee without understanding what is the greatness of Krishna. So in one conversation, one Indian man, they put Indian. They don't, if it's American, they don't say American man. If it's Indian, they put Indian man in the conversations. A man is American, but some of them are a little funny and they're Indian, so they're called Indian man. So it's an Indian man. Prabhupada, a devotee, very often after chanting, why they develop very, very high, I see a lot of devotees, they fall down back to the Maya. Definitely an Indian man, the English. What is the reason? Prabhupada, he is not a devotee. He's pretending to be a devotee. One who is a devotee never falls down. There are so many false devotees, he falls down. Then from a letter Srila Prabhupada wrote, I want to see a few sincere devotees, not many false devotees or pretenders. Ekas chandrastamohanti king natara sahasrashaha. This is, now I'm giving a quote from one of Srila Prabhupada's English writings before he came to the West in the old Back to Godhead magazines. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected the attempt of becoming one with the Supreme Lord by culturing devotional service as means to this end. Devotional service mixed up with empiric type of knowledge is a futile attempt for self-realization. As such, the Avidyananda Sannyasi, he's referring to someone, maybe someone's name, Vidyananda, but he, Srila Prabhupada writes here, as such, the Avidyananda Sannyasi and company, due to some pretension to practice devotional services, but at heart the desire is to become one with the Lord, where the so-called devotional services completely stop. Such pretentious religion is completely rejected by the Bhagavata school. Transcendental loving service of the personality of Godhead is an eternal affair of the pure devotees. It is not a means for merging into the absolute as conceived by the Mayavadis. The upasana is never to be ceased even at the liberated stage because it is an eternal engagement. The object of worship, the process of worship, and the worshipper, all of them exist in spite of the childish disturbances of men like Avidyananda and company. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to stop the method of false devotion because according to the Bhagavad school, this is religious pretension. So, Srila Prabhupada's talking about here as Mayavadis posing as devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to stop the method of false devotion. And we see that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was one Ramadas who accompanied Raghunath Bhatta from Varanasi to Puri and served him, and it always seemed like an exemplary Vaishnava, always saying Ram, 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 Ram. He came into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence after, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not interested in him at all because he could understand at heart he's a Mayavadi. So he was serving Raghunath Bhatta, he was constantly chanting the name of Ram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to have anything to do with him. He didn't give him any special mercy. Here's a song from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Eto ek kole chela, mata nera kopne para tilak nake galai mala. Here is another disciple of Kali Yuga. Here is a disciple of Kali Yuga. His head is shaved. He wears kopin, that means like a renunciant. He has tilak on his nose and the mala beads on his neck. Dekhte Vaishnaver moto. He looks like a Vaishnav. Ashol Shakta Kaja Bela. But actually, he's a Shakta. By his activities, you can see he's a Shakta, a worshipper of the material energy. Shahaj Bhajan Korchen Mamo Shonge Loye Pore Bala. This refers to Sahajiya sect. When we say Sahajiya, it's not just some derogatory term, but there's actually a whole Sampradaya, which was there, it seems, previous to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, called Sahajiya. And that's also supposed to be connected with Buddhism, Vajrayan school of Buddhism, and then they got mixed up with tantrics, and it's all a big mess. But in the Sahajiya school, similar to Tantra, which Tantra and Vajrayan Buddhism is a mixture of Tantra and whatever else. So the idea that by engaging in illicit sex, you make spiritual progress. So that community got mixed up with Vaishnavism in Bengal. So Sange Loye Pore Bala, this to the kind of bhajan, the sadhana, you require to have a woman, but someone else's wife, specifically. And so they'll be doing that with tilak and everything. Shoki bhave bhajjen tare nije hoya nandalal. Nandalala. Krishna dashe kotha chale maha janake dichen shala. Shala. So, he takes it. He worships the young girls as being gopis. You can see in the Durga Puja in Bengal, they do that each day. They do that here also. Each day they worship a different young girl as a manifestation of Durga. Do they do that here in North India also? Kumari Puja. And then he thinks he himself is Nandalal, he's Krishna. And then he tells everyone, you should worship Krishna. And who's Krishna? Well, I'm Krishna. And in this way, he throws a spear at the Mahajans, the actual Vaishnava Acharyas. Navarashik apane mani. That was a sampradaya, Navarashik, new bogus sampradaya. Kachen abar monakola. He eats, it's a Bengali idiom, he eats the bananas of his mind. Bowel, that's another thing, all mixed up with bowels and prakriti sahajiyas and they're all different kinds, all different strains of all weird ideas, all mixed up with Vaishnavism. Bal bale dohai obhai dur karo e lila kela. Oh, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur writing as Chanba. Yeah, eating banana mone kola means he's just making up some speculative ideas. So Chanbao, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writing in the name of Chanbao, says, keep away from this kind of leela. Well, where there's the so-called Krishna Leela. So we understand from this that at the time there were, at that time there were completely bogus things going on in the name of Vaishnavism. Now, why would anyone become a false devotee? Some of them are really bad, you know, taking other people's wives, and we don't have that as an official path within ISKCON today, although taking others' wives is not unheard of, especially in other countries. Marriage and divorce and remarriage and all this kind of thing. But it may be just by association. They may be born into a family of bogus worshippers. You find Bowel is married to a female, and they go on, they have children, something like hippies. So falseness becomes the norm. Just like in Bangladesh, I told you, I see these professional kirtaniers, and there's a look of great devotion on their face, but it's considered to be bhakti. They're just so used to a drama of bhakti being considered actual bhakti that they consider that is bhakti. They have no idea of what the actual thing is. No one ever tells them. So they think that, well, this is bhakti. You see, you go to a kirtan and you show lots of bhava, then afterwards you smoke, and then you can serve the Vaishnavas by bringing biri seva. And this is bhakti. You have to serve the Vaishnavas. So falseness becomes the norm, and that becomes equated with Vaishnavism. So I've several times told her this, that I was introduced to a devotee for the first time I met him. I was told he's a doctor, and he came up to me, and first thing he said, very excited, that, oh, we just started a new eye camp. And he's told that's devotional service. So it may not be his fault, but he came in association with people who told him that doing eye camps is devotional service. And that becomes the norm. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he undertook, in his own words, the preaching of true Vaishnavism and to guard credulous people. Credulous people means people who are easily misled. Innocent and foolish, which means most of the population. He undertook the preaching of true Vaishnavism and to guard credulous people against false doctrines passing under the garb of Vaishnav faith for long, owing to the popular ignorance or the widespread ignorance of the Vaishnava philosophy. Because people, for it's been going on for a long time. We may think that, well, things, in course of time, things will automatically get better, but we see that false doctrines, they become institutionalized, they go on for a long time, and then an acharya will come and present the actual philosophy, and then he has to fight to do that. And we'll find in all our temples, they'll say, oh, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, great acharya. But then they're going on with all so many bogus ideas. Just, he's great acharya, his picture's on the wall, and once a year we do a festival in it, and we tell all these stories, but then again they're doing the good thing that by doing all these bogus things, they may necessitate the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati or his follower to come again. but But in the meantime, they're making such a mess and misleading people. Dushtaman, tumi kise Vaishnava. What kind of Vaishnava are you? Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur said. Another quote from Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur. Do not manufacture truth in order to satisfy your erring inclinations. In other words, you have wrong desires, and then you make up some philosophy and you present this is the truth, this is Vaishnavism. Someone may have a desire to be known as a great Vaishnava, or to be a great welfare worker, or to be a great whatever. So they represent or reinvent Vaishnava philosophy. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, do not manufacture truth in order to satisfy your erring inclinations, or hastily accept anything for the reason that it satisfies such inclinations. So someone may see, well, someone's preaching Vaishnavism like this and someone else is preaching Vaishnavism like that. I like it. Seems like that one seems much better. You know, helping the poor and feeding the children. And so, yeah, that, okay, I'll accept that. Seems much better. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati warns, do not hastily accept anything for the reason that it satisfies your erring inclinations, your wrong tendencies. Do not regard as truth anything that has been built up or has the support of a majority of people like yourself. Insincere people. Nor as untruth anything that is rejected by the overwhelming majority. So he says, do not regard as untruth anything just because it's rejected by the overwhelming majority. According to the scriptures, there will be found hardly one in a crore of human beings who really worships the truth. What is proclaimed by the united voices of all the people of the world as truth may turn out to be false. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said, truth and falsehood, devotion and non-devotion can never be one. So the discussion that we're talking about having, that's it. You just can't go on forever just pretending that truth is untruth and non-truth is truth. You can't live your whole life like that. So another quote from Srila Prabhupada, who's translating Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If one is not fortunate enough to receive the Bhakti Lata Beej from the spiritual master, he instead cultivates such seeds as Karma Beej, Jnana Beej, or political, social, or philanthropic Beejas. Just see. However, the Bhakti Lata Beej is different from these other Beejas. The Bhakti Lata Beej can be received only through the mercy of the spiritual master. Therefore, one has to satisfy the spiritual master to get the Bhakti Lata Beej. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadaha. The Bhakti Lata Beej is the origin of devotional service. Unless one satisfies the spiritual master, he gets the Bija or root cause of karma, jnana and yoga without the benefit of devotional service. But one who is faithful to the spiritual master gets the Bhakti Lata Beej. This Bhakti Lata Beej is received when one is initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. After receiving the spiritual master's mercy, one must repeat his instructions. And this is called Shravana Kirtan. Shravana Kirtan means to repeat the instructions of the spiritual master. So if one is speaking something which is different from Srila Prabhupada, we can understand that's not actual kirtan. And those who are hearing, it's not shravan. Remember, this whole presentation is centering around who is this, how can we understand what it means to sincerely follow Srila Prabhupada. So you should say what he says and not something else. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. One who has not properly heard from the spiritual master or who does not follow the regulated principles is not fit for chanting, kirtan. I think I'll take that out and make that. separate quote. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kuru nandana. One who has not listened to carefully to the instructions of the spiritual master is unfit for chanting or preaching the cult of devotional service. One has to water the bhakti-lata bij by receiving instructions from the spiritual master. Then, going on, the unwanted creepers have been described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He states that if one hears and chants without trying to give up offenses, one becomes materially attached to sense gratification. One may also desire freedom from material bondage like the Mayavadis, or one may become attached to the yoga siddhis and desire wonderful yogic powers. If one is attached to wonderful material activities, one is called siddhi lobhi, greedy for material perfection. One may also be victimized by diplomatic or crooked behavior, politics. Or one may associate with women for illicit sex. One may make a show of devotional service like the Prakriti Sahajiyas. Oh. Or one may try to support his philosophy by joining some caste or identifying with a certain dynasty, claiming a monopoly on spiritual advancement. Thus, with the support of family tradition, one may become a pseudo-guru or so-called spiritual master. One may become attached to the four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat-eating. Or one may consider a Vaishnava to belong to a mundane caste or creed. One may think, this is a Hindu Vaishnava, and this is a European Vaishnava. European Vaishnavas are not allowed to enter the temples. In other words, one may consider Vaishnavas in terms of birth, thinking one a Brahmana Vaishnava, another Shudra Vaishnava, another Mlecha Vaishnava, and so on. One may also try to carry out a professional business by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Any signs of that in ISKCON today? Professional business. We have kirtaniers who have flown all over the world and they must be given some money to support their families because they chant Hare Krishna nicely. Or reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Any sign of that in Delhi, for instance? Or one may try to increase his monetary strength by illegal means. Also, one may become a cheap Vaishnava by trying to chant in a secluded place for material adoration. Or one may desire mundane reputation by making compromises with non-devotees concerning one's philosophy or spiritual life. Let's read that again. One may desire mundane reputation by making compromises with non-devotees concerning one's philosophy or spiritual life. Well, it is applicable in our movement today, but we can't say exactly, otherwise we're called offenders. I mean, there are people who do these things. There are karmis in the dress. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees. There's actual people. It's not just some philosophical idea. So you have to put the two and two together yourself to understand, but these are very clear statements. Or one may become a supporter of a hereditary caste system. All these are pitfalls of personal sense gratification. Just to cheat some innocent people, one makes a show of advanced spiritual life and becomes known as a sadhu, mahatma, or religious person. All this means that the so-called devotee has become victimized by all these unwanted creepers and that the real creeper, the bhakti lata, has been stunted. So, from the purport to the Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam verse that the desire for one's fulfilling one's own sensual demands that is called kama or mundane lust, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as the path to hell, the destroyer of knowledge and realization, and so on. And prem, love of Krishna, means when one does everything for the satisfaction of Krishna's desires. So, Srila Prabhupada writes again from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, something strange here. Okay, I'll go over to the... Something strange in the file, so I'll go over to the... Read it from the database directly. Acts of sense gratification may be performed under the cover. Again, we're talking about imitation. Under the cover of public welfare, nationalism, religion, altruism, ethical codes, biblical codes, health directives. And we actually have to stop and think of each one. Maybe go a little slowly. Sense gratification. It's actually presented as being public welfare, but actually it's been done. The person who's doing acts of public welfare, their real intention is their own personal sense gratification. Nationalism, again, sense gratification. There's extended sense gratification, or to be a great hero of the nation. Religion, altruism. Do you all know what altruism means? It means the spirit of working for the benefit of others. Ethical codes, biblical codes, health directives, fruity of action, bashfulness. I guess the Bengali for that would be lajja. Tolerance. Acts of sense gratification may be under the cover of tolerance. You have to show yourself to be very tolerant. So people are doing all nonsense and we should just tolerate. But it's actually sense gratification, because the next one is personal comfort, physical and mental. Liberation from material bondage, progress, family affection, or fear of social ostracism. Can you understand that? Social, that if we're acting like devotees, but the reason is we're just afraid that people will say something against us and then they won't like us. Or we won't speak out against imitation in the name of bhakti because we're afraid of social ostracism or legal punishment. But all these categories are different subdivisions of one substance, sense gratification. All such good acts are performed basically for one's own sense gratification, for no one can sacrifice his personal interest while discharging these much advertised moral and religious principles. But above all, this is a transcendental stage in which one feels himself to be only an eternal servitor of Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead. All acts performed in this sense of servitude are called pure love of God, because they are performed for the absolute sense gratification of Sri Krishna. However, any act performed for the purpose of enjoying its fruits or results is an act of sense gratification. Such actions are visible sometimes in gross and sometimes in subtle forms. So the imitation devotee means it's subtle. Generally, it may be gross also, just like Sahaj Bhajan Karchan Mamu, doing the Sahajya, taking someone else's wife. So that's gross. But more difficult to recognize is when it's subtle, in which one looks like a devotee in many ways and may appear very saintly, but it's for subtle sense gratification, which is not so easy to recognize. To become famous as a great spiritual leader, a very holy person, to help the people by providing them with the things to help them in their lives. These are good motives, but it can be done all for the sake of promoting oneself. Okay, I'll stop there. We'll continue tomorrow, Krishna willing, if I don't get struck with a thunderbolt for all these offenses of reading from Prabhupada's books. Hare Krishna.